May take her a little time to find her a song, but she's Johnny on the spot when she's hunting that checking book, I guarantee you. She can find that in a heartbeat.
That's right. It's in my purse. I know
where it is. All right. That's right, in her purse. Amen to that. Praise God. Well, God's good, isn't he? Has God been especially good to anybody who wants to stand and just give the word a word of testimony tonight? This is your opportunity. Amen. He's an on-time God, isn't he? Amen. May not come when you want him, but he's always there on time. Brother Josh.
I'm going to drive like this quick. I know you don't waste anybody's time or anything, but you know, when the Lord lays something on your heart, you got to do it.
Amen.
Well, first off, I'd like to say, praise the Lord, I woke up this morning. I'd like to be here on time. The devil didn't get the best of us today, man. My brother-in-law, I want to praise God for healing my marriage. Y'all, he got to know me, nobody knows.
Bless him, Jesus. Yes.
Yes, praise God. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Eddie, I'm sorry, but anytime you open this up for a testimony, I'm
going to
thank
you. That's all right. Amen. Amen. What a blessing that'll be. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Josh. Amen. When the table is spread, they don't have to call me twice to come eat. Amen. Brother Walter. Snooze, you lose, brother. What a difference that makes. Amen. Glory. I love it.
Sure.
Thank God. Praise God. What a blessing. Amen. Praise God. I think we can all identify with that. Amen. Glory to God. It's not what you did yesterday. It's where you are today. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with us to the 121st Psalm. It simply describes as a song of degrees. But as I was reading that this week, I just could not seemingly get away from it. So I want to share with you tonight what I feel that the Lord has laid upon our heart. It's so good to see each and every one of you here on Wednesday night. Appreciate you coming out and worshiping with us. The 121st Psalm, I want to read the 8 verses. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Then he answers his question. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word tonight. God, we're thankful for the group of people who have gathered here tonight, God, to worship and exalt your name. Father, we do remember those who are traveling, those who are sick and afflicted. And Father, we pray, God, that you would touch and anoint their bodies. I ask you now, God, just let the Holy Spirit have his way tonight. Lord, lead us, guide us, direct us, Lord, in the way that you would have us to go. Father, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, is just a vessel that the Holy Ghost would speak to us tonight. God, and I pray that we would be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Why don't we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we're seated tonight? Amen. Can we do that? I enjoy praising the Lord. Amen. Brother Josh, I too am going to look forward to being in heaven with that glorified body that's never going to tire of glorifying and praising God forever and ever and ever. What a glorious time that will be. Tonight, I want to speak on this song of degrees, and if I had a message title, it would be God is our keeper. Amen. I like that, Brother Walter. Not was, but is. He says, I am. Amen. Not I was. I think he's still an I am God, don't you? Amen. He's, as we said, he's always on time. But I want to break it down tonight by verse, if we possibly can, just to kind of lay a little groundwork here from what I was able to read and gather. This particular song, or the group that was known as the Song of Degrees, was basically a song or a psalm that was adopted by many times the soldiers and also by travelers or wayfarers that were traveling in and around Jerusalem. And it was very customary at that time for them to encourage one another. Remember, this was before Sirius FM. This was before CDs. And a lot of times it would make the journey seem a lot shorter. And it also would comfort one another as they traveled. And it also would encourage those travelers, because during that time there were a lot of highwaymen, a lot of people that would, they would prey on travelers. And also it was a time of encouraging one another and also praising and glorifying God. How many knows that still works? How many knows that the Bible encourages us not to even plan to take a trip unless we do it in the name of the Lord? Amen. And whatsoever things that we do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I will assure you, things will go better, whether you're traveling or whatever. And the soldiers, they seem to adopt it as a song of camaraderie or a togetherness, or to encourage one another as they begin to go from battle to battle. And the psalmist here says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Now, many, many times I think people get confused here and think that the hills are going to bring us our blessing. Well, no, it's the creator of the hills. It's the creator of the mountains. It's the creator of this universe. It's the one who spoke heaven and earth into existence, the universe. It is God who is our keeper. And then he asked this question, from whence cometh my help? How many has ever heard of a rhetorical question? You ask a question and you already know the answer. I was going into the post office today this morning, and one of my older cousins was there. And this older cousin is the brother of Sister Susan, and he definitely has the gift of gab. How many knows people that like that? And they're sweet and they're precious, but they just won't hush. They just talk. It doesn't matter who they talk to, a perfect stranger or whatever. So he was talking to this lady, this young lady in there, and he said, I believe I know you. And she told him who she was. And then he went on to say, and I was passing by, and he said something to the effect of, do you know me? And I walked by, and he said, oh, there's my cousin. I said, let me tell you something. Never ask anybody over the age of 65, do you remember me? Or do you know me? You just go ahead and tell them your name, and then that'll calm a lot of controversy and a lot of confusion. And I found that out as I passed the age of 65. Sometimes I remember the face, but can't remember the name. But a rhetorical question was, from whence with my help cometh, or where does my help come from? And many, many times when we're living for the Lord and searching for answers, sometimes we're wondering, where's my answer going to come from? Where's my help going to come from? Where's my protection going to come from? Where is my direction going to come from? But you know what? It may come through a person, but it came from God. Okay? It may come through a church marquee sign. How many has been blessed driving down the highway and see something on a church marquee and it was just exactly what you needed to hear at that particular time? Or either a song on the radio come and begin to bless you, or somebody, you come up at church and maybe you've had a rough and tiring week and somebody puts their arm around you and says a very encouraging word and it's just exactly what you needed. But understand, the help doesn't really come from those vehicles. It comes from God, because God knows what you've been going through, and God knows exactly what you need, and how many knows He still will supply our need. So we understand and know inevitably where our help comes from. He may choose any vehicle He so chooses, or any person, but the help still comes from God. Others say that the scripture pertains to the fact that in and around the hills of Jerusalem was also Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, which were some sacred mountains at that time. One of the ark, I believe, one of the mountains around there, this is where the ark rested, and many, many times they looked at that. But again, the same thing holds. You know, even though it's a sacred place, understand that the church is a good place to come together, not because of the building, but because of the saints of God that are here. And we need to encourage one another. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, praying one for another. That's the reason that we do that. Amen. To encourage one another. But ultimately, that help still comes from God. It's not the church that gives you help, but it's God. Amen. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Aren't you? Do you love the Lord? Amen. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. So, basically what it was a song of degrees that gave comfort or gave encouragement, and it was recited over and over and over during the different trials or different trips that they would take. And first of all, he answers his question. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Realize where help comes from, and realize that the help that is powerful, I want you to remember these words, powerful, efficient, and constant. Okay? Powerful, first of all, the help that God gives us is powerful. Amen? The Bible tells us that we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Do you understand that God, in His infinite wisdom, when He was the I Am, realized that there would be times when we would need power, we would need that strength, we would need whatever the situation that we were facing, we was going to need somebody or something that would help us through those times. And how many knows that we can rely on the power of God? So He gave us help that is powerful. And this was encouraging to the soldiers. This was encouraging to the travelers, because they knew that they could rely on the Word of God. They knew that they could rely on the power of God. Because many, many times, how many know sometimes trouble doesn't announce when it's going to hit you? Doesn't call you up and say, you know, what about this time next Tuesday? I'm going to hit you with a bunch of problems. We don't know that. We don't know the day or the hour when those things are going to come against us. But how many knows it's good that we have a constant abide with the power of the Lord that helps us through those times. So the help that God gives is, first of all, powerful. Secondly, it is efficient. Amen. It's always just enough. Amen. I like to put it that way. You know, God's power is not wasted on us. You know, many, many times when God sustains us, it's exactly what we need. I can't tell you how many testimonies I've heard. Precious saints of God, I grew up in a church where saints of God would testify about every blessing that God gave them. It didn't matter. I remember Sister Olean Forster was praising God because she got her sheets off the clothesline before they came up a thunderstorm. Now, we laugh about that, but that was serious to her, because she didn't want to have to get those things down if we got all wet and muddy again. So she prayed, Lord, let me get the sheets in before the thunderstorm hits. And you know what? As soon as she got to church, she began to praise the Lord for it. Precious, precious thing. So God's help is efficient, amen, too. And I've also heard some of those precious saints of God testify how that they had a need, a specific need. And they prayed to the Lord for a specific need. It may be a power bill that was so many dollars and so many cents. And they needed that.
And they would testify that the Lord sent them exactly what they needed. Now, I've heard people testify, well, I reached in my pocket of a coat that I hadn't wore a while, and I pulled out, and there was exactly the amount of money that I needed for the specific need. I don't believe that's a coincidence. Amen? I don't believe that just happened. I believe that was the efficient power of Almighty God, knowing that He's not only powerful to help us, but His help is efficient for us. He will make a way when there seemeth no way. So not only is His help powerful and efficient, I love this word, it's constant. How many knows you can count on the Lord? You can count on Him to be there. You can count on Him to help you through any situation, any problem. So this was part of the words that they sing. So part of the words that they sing over and over and over. Do you? And you don't have to have a show of hands tonight, but how many of us sometimes have a special verse or a special scripture or even a special song that we will relate to when we face problems or circumstances in our life? You know, He's an on-time God. We say that over and over and over. He's a very present help in time of trouble, scriptures and things like that, to let us know. What does that do? That reminds us that God is constantly with us. Amen? He doesn't take time off. He doesn't say, you go on ahead and I'll catch up with you later. But they realized this, that whatever they faced, whatever was around the bend, whatever the next battle was, they knew that God's strength was, His power was, or His help was powerful, and it was efficient, and it was constant. So thank God for that. They realized where their help came from. And verse number 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, I want to hold off on that second part just a minute because it goes right into the fourth verse. But let's look at the very first. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. How many knows that God makes us, His power makes us steadfast and unmovable? The winds may come. The storms may hit. All of these situations may come in our life. But if we're rooted and grounded, how many knows it's good to be rooted and grounded and steadfast in the Word of God? How do you get rooted and grounded and steadfast in the Word of God? First of all, you need to read it and learn it and apply it to your heart. Write it on the tables of your heart. Live by it. Operate in it. Amen. Use the Word of God. If you're having problems with Satan coming against you, use the Word of God. What did Jesus use in the wilderness? Amen. When Satan came against him. He came against him with the Word of God. Listen, Satan cannot stand against the Word of God because the Word of God is true. That's what I want to stand on. So write it on the tables of your heart and be steadfast and unmovable because that's what God is in our life. He is that constant abiding force that is within us. And he also says, Israel shall, or behold, he that keepeth Israel. First of all, let me go back to 3. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He will now. He uses the words, or the writer uses the word slumber and sleep, and many, many times they're used together. Slumber and sleep. Slumber denotes more of about a weariness, a kind of a tiredness, and kind of a half sleep. How many? You know, sometimes we slumber, and then sometimes we get into a deep sleep. And he was referring to this. He's never weary. He never grows tired. And, you know, I've heard some precious saints of God say, I know God gets tired of me saying this, or God gets tired of me asking him. That's not backed up by the Word of God. God does not get tired. See, God's not like we are. Pastor might get tired of it, okay? One another might get tired of it. Husband and wife might get tired of saying that same old thing over and over. But God's not like us. God is so much higher than us. His thoughts and His ways are beyond our ability to even comprehend or fathom. And He never gets tired of hearing from His children, whether it be praise, hopefully praise and honor and exaltation, but also petitions and requests before God, because He tells us we can come to Him. Amen. We can put our burdens on Him. So God doesn't get tired of hearing from us. He will never be weary. He will never tired, and He will never slumber. And then he goes into verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The important thing here is to note that the writer, the psalmist, thought it so important that he repeated himself. The one that keepeth Israel will not slumber. And again, he that keepeth Israel will not slumber or sleep. there had to be some encouragement there, because I believe that there was a tendency for the children of Israel to think that there were times in their life, whether they had not been the person that they needed to be, maybe they had grown cold or whatever it was, maybe they hadn't been devoted and committed as they was, and they may have thought in their finite mind that God was away from them. God was not listening to them. And if you don't think that that can happen to a dedicated and committed Christian, remember the words of Jesus Christ, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's when the flesh cries out. Your spirit knows that God is never going to forsake you. The spirit knows that greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. But how many know sometimes our flesh has to be constantly reminded that God is not away from us. God is not asleep somewhere. God is not sitting over there somewhere on a throne, not worried about the situations and the things that we're going through. So he reminded them by repeating it again, "He that keepeth Israel will not slumber, and he will not sleep." We ought to put our hands together for the fact to know that God is always aware of what we're going through. Amen. That ought to make us never say, "God, you just don't know what a day I've had." Yes, he does. "God, you don't know what I'm going through at this time." Yes, he does. He does. He's not asleep somewhere. He's not unconcerned somewhere. In fact, he is very concerned about those things that are issues in our life. And he tells us that he'll be with us. And you got to understand, these are words that they was encouraging one another. Amen. How many knows that we need to encourage our saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ? Amen. So many times we don't know what they've been going through. We don't know what kind of day they've had or what kind of week. So we need to encourage one another. All right. Then he says in verse number 5, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." Thy keeper, preservation of an individual. I've often said, the God that knows every human on this earth, knows our thoughts, knows our hearts, so big, so majestic, but yet I can have an individual relationship with him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious that God knows my thoughts? He knows my heart. Amen. And I never find him too busy. I never find him preoccupied. He's always there. No wonder the psalmist said, you know, this is a song of degrees, meaning it is a song of steps, a song of ascents or ascending. How many knows that we're constantly taking steps on this journey? Amen. I've heard the person said, you know what? I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was either. Amen. How many can relate to that tonight? So God is that one, amen, that he is the keeper and the preservation of an individual on a personal basis. Think about that. You have a personal relationship with the Creator of this universe. My Lord, on a first name basis. Amen. He knows us and we know him. And that's the reason he said, "The Lord is thy keeper." Not only our keeper, not only Israel's keeper, but every individual. Amen. He is that wonderful person. Amen. In the God, that the God of a personal basis, and also a shade of protection against unbearable heat. Now, understand the physical words of this. Understand the physical connotation of this, because as soldiers marched or as people journeyed, many, many times they were in the midst of the hot sun, the unbearable sun that came down. And the soldiers, in supposedly in their left hand they carried the shield, but in their right hand, amen, many, many times it was unprotected. The shield was not only for protection, but sometimes against the heat of the sun. So this, he so eloquently put it, amen, and that's the physical part. But think about that spiritually. Think about the things sometimes that are unguarded in our spiritual life. God is that one, amen, that puts us in a shade. Amen. He comforts us. He cools us in the unbearable heat. Not necessarily talking about the rays of the sun, But how many's been in situations that were unbearable? It seemed like somebody had turned the thermostat up on your life and things were just kind of, you were almost at the point of boiling over. Amen? You ever been there? Don't show your hand, but just nod your head. We've all been there. But God is that one who comforts us with His shade. So many times, I just need to rest in the Lord. Amen? So many times, that peace be still is exactly what I need. Because a time of turbulence, a time of confrontation, a time of situations, a time, amen, when it begins to be unbearable, I just need a cool shade, amen? Just like the prophet went out and sat under that juniper tree. You know, he was resting from the sun, and he needed to hear from God. How many times do we just need that protecting power of God? And he tells us here that he is the shade upon thy right hand. In verse number 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The two lights that govern time, the sun and the moon, he tells us that basically what this is protection and care day and night. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we said earlier, not only does trouble doesn't warn us that it's coming, Satan doesn't always give us a heads up either. And for some reason, he thinks that if he can get our mind somewhere in the middle of the night, around the midnight hour, that trouble seems so big and so bad. So many times we toss and we turn and we can't go to sleep because he's warring against our mind. Can I give you a word of encouragement? You don't have to wait till the sun comes up. You don't have to wait till the church doors are open. Amen. Because He is a God of the day and He is a God of the night. Amen. He will protect us during the sun. He will protect us during the moon. Amen. You might want to say it like this. 24/7. Amen. God is always there. He used the word before, constant. Amen. He is ever abiding with us, regardless of the situation. I have found the Spirit of God to be in a waiting room at a hospital when nobody else was around. Do you know how thankful I am to know that God is there in the midnight hour? Do you know how thankful it is when you look at the doctor and the doctor can't give you any good news? You're looking for somebody to try to tell you that things are going to be better, but you're not hearing it. But you know what? God is still on the scene. He's right there. Amen. When you're hearing that bad news, because He's a 24/7 God. Amen. He'll keep you during the day, and certainly He'll keep you during the night. Praise God. I believe maybe some of you have had those experiences to know what a testimony that is, that God never sleeps and never slumbers. Amen. He's there to protect us day and night. Verse number 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. I believe it was Brother Matthew New was preaching. And he made a statement, a very profound statement, and I want to borrow that from him. He said, words matter. How many knows words matter in the Bible? How many knows that we don't need to try to change them? We don't need to try to add to them? And certainly we don't need to take away from them. I believe the Bible means what it says. And I don't believe that we need to try to find any errors in it, because I don't believe there's any errors in it. It is the Word of God. Understand, it's not only the written Word of God. It is the Word of God from the very foundation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His Word is going to stand forever. His Word is true, and words mean something. And I get excited when I think about that, because he says, the Lord shall preserve thee from almost all evil. 90% of evil. No, words mean something. A-L-L means all, including everything, excluding nothing. Put your hands together, glory to God, including everything, excluding nothing. But Brother Eddie, will he help me with my finances? A-L-L. Will he help me with my health? A-L-L. Will he help me with my sorrows? Hey, all things, all evil, all things that come against us, God will protect us from those things. If you can't remember anything else, remember that. Including everything, excluding nothing. Amen. Whatever it is, it's covered. Hallelujah. Whatever the situation. All right. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. That's what I love. He is the keeper of our soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many knows that flesh and bone going to go back to the dust of the earth, but that soul is going to live forever? I've often said, if we could take as good a care of our soul as we do our body. Come on. We pamper ourselves. We try to do the best we can, and rightfully so. Amen. It's the tabernacle of the soul. It is the house that the soul lives in. But understand, this is going back to the dust of the earth. But that soul is going to live forever and ever and ever. God is the keeper of our soul. Praise God. No better hands could it be in than Almighty God. But you know what? You've got to release it unto God. He's not going to just come in and take control of your soul. He comes in as someone that you invite into your life. Aren't you glad that you can invite Jesus Christ into your life through His Holy Spirit to be the keeper of our soul? Now, if He's the keeper of our soul, then I'm not going to worry about it. Come on. I'm not going to worry about it. My soul is in good hands. Amen. Because God is the keeper of my soul. No one better to trust our soul to than the Lord. Then verse 8, as we try to bring it to a close tonight. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This particular verse deals with and denotes time and movement. Okay? Time meaning going in and coming out. There's a time to go. There's a time to come. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. But it also knows eternity too. Because time goes on. Maybe we pass away, but time goes on. But the Lord made a way for that in the soul that's going to live on and on and on. So the Lord shall preserve thy going in and thy coming out from this time forth and even forevermore. He is with us coming in. He is with us going out. Amen. I remember telling the folks, I tried one time to do a little insurance selling. How many knows that everybody's not cut out to be a salesman? I found out that in being an insurance salesman that people will avoid you when they find out you're selling insurance. But mine was one of those debits, you know, where you went out and collected money. And I remember I was telling somebody, well, I was out till like 8:30, 9 o'clock last night trying to collect some money. And where was you? Well, I told them where I was, and they said, oh, my Lord, you don't need to be down that part of town after 8 o'clock, after it gets dark. And I said, that's okay. The Lord was with me. They looked at me kind of funny and said, well, yeah, but still, you just need to use good judgment. I said, no, the Lord was with me. I said, of course, we drove down in that neighborhood, and I got out, and the Lord said, I'm just going to sit in the car if I drive right with you. No, He doesn't do that. Amen. He said, I'll be with you when you go out. I'll be with you when you come in. Glory to God. Amen. You're never alone. You're never fighting that battle by yourself. Come on. You may think you are. You may think you're all the one that nobody ever cares about you. Nobody ever gives you an encouraging word. But I got good news for you. He's with you going out. He's with you coming in. He's with you in the morning. He's with you at night. He's with you all during the day. You can't go anywhere. Amen. That God is not with you. Praise God. What a blessing that is to know. Glory to God. Not only is He there going with us and coming in, but from this time forth and even forevermore. Simply said, He's always with us. He's always with us. Song of Degrees. I was inquisitive of that because I see that written all the time. But basically it says, a song of ascents, ascending. How many knows ascending? You know, again, I'm still striving. I'm still trying. I haven't finished the rest, but I haven't finished the race, but I reach toward that mark. Amen. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm still reaching toward that mark. And this kind of psalm helps us to reach that point. If nothing else, it jogs our memory. It jogs our conscience and let us know that we're not in this thing alone. Amen. We got a constant a person that will abide with us through the power, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God, I just love Him so much, and I appreciate Him, and I thank Him for the words that we can read and open up. Because I tell you what, if you are needing anything in your life, if you're facing any situation, you can find that answer in God's Word. And it'll be so uplifting to you and be such a blessing. It's amazing that God knows just what we need and just when we need it. Amen. If you love Him with all your heart, give Him one more hand clap of praise. May God bless you. Just remember, He is our keeper. He is the preserver of our soul. Would you stand? This altar is open. If you need prayer tonight, I know we had prayer requests and we've prayed already, but you may want to bring a situation to the altar. I'll assure you that the elders will pray with you and pray for you. So let's bow our heads tonight. Anyone need prayer, just come to the altar. We'll pray for you tonight. Again, we thank you for being here. We love each and every one of you. As these come forward, we might ask some of our elders to come. And let's pray before we dismiss tonight.